Hello, everybody. This is the first episode of Talkbooky, and we're your hosts, Talia Saley
and Rose Kim.
The name of our podcast is in reference to a staple street food in South Korea, and it's called tteokbokki, or spicy rice cakes. We will explore different Korean topics, such as our culture, music, entertainment, as well as discuss our experiences as Korean-Canadians who have lived in both countries.
Yeah, so the two of us, we went to high school together, and we've known each other for a very long time. And yeah, because we share so many of our experiences together as Korean-Canadians, we decided to make a podcast together and be able to share these experiences with the rest of you guys. So yeah, Tal, you want to introduce yourself a little bit more?
Hi guys, so I'm Talia Saley, and I'm a first-year journalism student, and yeah, I'm really interested in doing podcasts, going into television, doing radio, so this is really why I wanted to do this podcast with Rose and just talk about my experiences.
Yeah, and I'm a first-year media production student at Ryerson University. I'm really into digital media. I'm very passionate about creating graphics and designs and drawing. So I think being able to, you know, exercise that through this podcast, creating our logos and banners and things like that, is something that I was really interested in doing. And then just on top of that, being able to do a podcast with my friend was also a fun aspect as well.
Yeah. So me and Rose have known each other before Ryerson. Before we ever went into university. We've known each other since grade 9, but ever since grade 12, Rose had to move to California due to other reasons. And so we're just really interested to do a podcast together, even though we're far apart, and get really involved in school and talk about things that we're passionate about.
Yeah. With that in mind, I guess we should just talk about our next topic for our podcast, which is our experiences in Korean schools. So, because Talia and I have both grown up in the Korean education system, we know a lot about it and have different perspectives that we could bring. I'm someone who was born in South Korea, and I moved here in Canada when I was around like 9 or 10 years old, so I'm a first-generation immigrant. So, Talia, being someone who is, you know, Asian and have grown up in a predominantly Asian school, like, what was your experiences?
Well, Asian is a funny word to use, but I would also describe myself as mixed race, but at the same time, like, I don't really focus on it too much. But I went to Korea, so there's a lot of background to this, but my mom is Korean, and my dad is Canadian, and he has some other background. He's some German, he has some Irish, some British. And I moved to Korea from Canada. I moved there when I was in grade 1, and I went schooling there for about 6 years. Being the only Asian, I suppose, in school was a little bit different. Now, if you go to Korea, there's a lot of foreign people, but back then when I was there, there wasn't a lot of people. So I guess I stood out a little bit more than other people did. I mean, it didn't bother me too much. I was more focused on learning the language in general. I don't even know how I learned it, but I picked it up really fast. I think my sister, she stood out a little bit more than me just because she had more, I guess, Western features. She had my dad's features, and I looked a little bit more Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people would question me, saying, like, where are you from? They would assume I'm from the U.S. or something. I guess they don't know much about Canada.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody knows about Canada, at least back then. But now a lot of people do. And so they were always, like, so amazed, like, oh, my God, you're from a different country. That's so cool. I guess my pronunciation was also pretty good, considering English is my first language. So whenever I was in English class, and I stood up, and my teacher told me to read a sentence in English, then everybody would be, you know, all surprised. For me, that was, like, weird, getting that kind of attention.
Yeah.
It's, like, very random.
Mm-hmm.
But it also made me feel kind of good, because I stood out a little. I'm like, oh, like, I'm just, like, so good at English, oh my God.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, though. Like, when I went back to Korea after I came back to Canada, I went to school there for about a year again. And being already, like, have already learned English, right? I've already, picked up the language and I was able to speak it fluently. And in Korea, there are English classes, just like how in Canadian schools we have like French classes. So Koreans start learning English, I think, like grade one or something like that. And so when I was going to middle school there, there was English classes. And because I was able to speak so fluently and well, everyone was so impressed. And, it, you know, my middle school self felt very, you know, proud and happy and felt good. But yeah, it was very interesting to see everyone treat me kind of differently, too. Even though I didn't really look white, it's just they thought I was Canadian, I guess, in a way, just culturally. And so that part was, yeah, very different, I think.
Being really good at English is just a very big thing. Mm-hmm. It's also the way that they learn English there. It's more on paper than actually talking in English.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people there can't pronounce it, but they are really good at doing tests. They get like hundreds in English, but they can't actually talk.
Mm-hmm. Like
they can't,
they're really good at like grammar and spelling and things like that because those are the things that they learn, right? Mm-hmm. But they never learn a lot of like conversational English. And so in like Korea, there's like an actual thing where you're scared of English speaking people because you don't know how to communicate with them back, right? Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called. There's like a name for it, but if you go up to, like, a stranger in Korea and you start speaking English to them, they'll get, like, scared. They'll get, like, kind of afraid and, like, uncomfortable to talk to you, even though they might be able to write better than you in English or something like that, or know better grammar than you. It's just, like, the conversational aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I ordered a bunch of stuff in English, mm-hmm. and I kind of scared the waiter.
Yeah, because then they just never know how to respond back, or, like, they'll freeze because...
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
You just looked at me like, what?
Yeah.
What did you just say? Yeah, that was interesting. But like going back to the point about like how they learn English, here it's a little bit different because when we learn French, for example, which is a different language than we normally use, there's a lot of tests that you do, oral communication that you do as assessments, but there's not really any sort of assessment like that in Korea. It's all just paper-based like tests and assignments, so I feel like that would really be helpful there if they use that, because see that I feel like it's the opposite. Like here we're not as good as on grammar and just spelling and all those things, but we're really good at pronouncing things because that's what we always learn.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to see how they do it though, because if you think about it, the things that they learn in, like, middle school and elementary school and stuff like that, or, like, even in high school, the English knowledge that you have is all papered throughout. It doesn't just stop in, like, high school. Even in university when you learn English, it'll never be, like, conversational English. You just always learn how to write essays or paragraphs or things like that.
How was it, like, for you going to high school in Korea? Because you went for a year.
Yeah, like, I went to middle school in Korea just for a year, and my mom went back to Korea, so my brother and I decided to tag along, and it was a very interesting experience. Like I talked about before, people kind of treated me differently, but in, like, a good way, because I spoke English. Like, I had a classmate of mine that came on my first day of school when I was, like, introducing myself. And she's like, oh, it's so cool that you speak English, that you're from Canada. Like, do you want to be friends? Like, that's how she approached me as. And, you know, it was nice. It was very interesting. But then, like, a couple of days later, there were, like, other girls in my class that would be like, my mom told me to hang out with you. Or, like, my mom told me to be friends with you because you spoke English or you speak English or you're from Canada. Like, I thought that was a little bit weird to just approach me like that. So it was like a treating you differently, but in a good way-ish, you know? They never made me feel like I was an outsider in a way. But in different aspects, I think it was interesting to see that I was too, like, Western in Korea, if that makes sense. Even though I was, like, biological Korean, like, legally I was still a Korean citizen. But then just because I spoke English, they've always just kind of associated me with Canadian things. Like, they thought I loved maple syrup, and I don't know, like, I had a bunch of white friends, and...
Yeah, well, and that was in high school?
middle school. 중학교.
Middle school.
Or is it 고등학교?
Okay. 중학교.
Come on. 구룡 중학교. 구룡. It's, yeah, it's 중학교.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't be in 고등학교. That's like grade 10 to 12 yeah. or something.
And like,
okay.
Okay, one thing else that I want to mention is just like the competitiveness of Korean schools. Like, I'm sure you know it too. Even if you only went to school in like elementary school, you could already tell like that the parents and the teachers, like they butt you against each other since like from the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know. I think teachers seem kind of scary during exam season.
Yeah, like midterms. They're
always trying to like make it so hard or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think my highest marks were 70s, and whenever I got a 70, I was like, oh my god.
Right? Yeah, like the competitiveness is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy, but I wasn't that competitive just because I was pretty young. So all I cared about was like playing outside.
Yeah. But
I don't know, maybe you were, I don't know, were you studying hard when you went?
Yeah, or? Like, it wasn't necessarily that I was studying hard, because all of my knowledge, like, all of my learning skills and stuff like that came from, like, a Canadian learning system, like, an education system, right? And I already knew that I was going back to Canada, so, you know, like, nothing that I did in that Korean school really mattered. I was just honestly there for fun. But I do remember struggling with a lot of the math assignments and science assignments and, like, the writing assignments, especially in Korean, because, like, one, obviously, I was more fluent in English by that point. Just, I felt more comfortable speaking in English. And two, like, the things that they teach you is so, like, highly advanced and stuff like that, that I was learning stuff that I wouldn't be learning in the same grade in Canada. You know, like, I was already learning algebra at, like, grade 7.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a whole other
thing. I remember. Yeah, I remember learning so many things there, and then I came back here in grade 7, and I think the first thing we learned was calculating the area in grade 7, and like that was the first thing we learned in like, I don't know, grade 5 in Korea.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was very early on. Like, we already learned we had to memorize everything. I mean, I guess they kind of do that here, but I don't really remember. But you know, we memorize everything, multiplication in our heads. We don't use any calculators. For me, that was hard, though, because, I don't know, I'm really bad at doing math in my head. I'd rather write it down.
Yeah. But just, yeah. Like, the competitiveness. Or maybe not even that, just how hard it is, I think, they make it for students. It's kind of crazy, don't you think? Like, so many of those students in Korea, they wake up, they go to school, and they don't come back home until, like, 12 o'clock at night. Like, midnight, because they have academies to go to do their homework that they're assigned for them. And
yeah, even for me, though, because I mean, that applies more to people who are going to middle school or high school. But even when I went to from grade 1 to 6, there's exams.
Yeah.
And I would still go to math extracurriculars. I would go to English. I even did English because somehow, like, I don't know why I had to learn English, but, you know, I was really good at speaking verbally with my dad and stuff, like, talking back and forth, pronouncing. But I didn't know a lot of vocabulary because I was reading more Korean books than, English books. So I wasn't really learning any new words every day, right? And I think that was the hardest part. Like, coming back here to Canadian school and I was really comfortable, like, I knew what I was talking about, I understood what people were saying, but I couldn't read a book and not search up the definition of, like, almost a lot of the words in the book, because otherwise I just wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Because I was so bad, I didn't know any complicated words, and so that was hard.
Yeah, it's, like, weird learning two languages at the same time, I think, or, like, being able to speak two languages at the same time. Sometimes I forget what the word is in Korean and I'll have to say it in English. Or sometimes I'll, like, forget.
Konglish.
Yeah, like the Konglish thing, right? Like, I'll forget, like, the English word for it. So sometimes it'll be like, Mom, can you pick up the 젓가락? Like, it's weird, right? It sounds really weird to other people. So, yeah, it's interesting, I think, growing up Korean, Canadian.
Yeah.
Just being a mix of two cultures.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're bilingual, and a lot of people I mean, use two languages all the time, but some people, they just, you know, use one more than the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for me. Like, going to Korea, I was, my most comfortable language was Korean over English. Mm-hmm. And then coming here now, English is so much easier because all I ever use Korean for is, like, with my mom and for very simple things. So, like, you start to forget a lot of words, and I don't know a lot of complex words now.
Mm.
So, like, no matter what, I'm always going to be better at one language over the other.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be as equal to both.
Mm-hmm. Like, when I went back to Korea for just, like, a year or something, the language that I spoke the most is definitely Korean, just because my grandparents were there, my mom was there, my brother, all of my teachers, my friends, they all spoke Korean, right? So I was kind of, like, forced to speak Korean. Coming back here, like, I don't have that anymore, right? I don't have grandparents here. I don't have Korean teachers or Korean friends that I'm, like, constantly talking to, right? So,
like, me, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
Well, obviously, yeah, like, you. And, like, we have a big group of Korean friends, too. But even then, like, we just never speak in Korean all the time, right?
Because it's just pointless. And also, whenever we do speak Korean, everybody else is...
Yeah, everyone else is, like,
what are they talking about?
Yeah. I think we had that problem, too. Or, like, not necessarily a problem, but just kind of, like, an interesting thing that happened. Because we would talk in Korean with each other, but other people would be really confused. Or they couldn't, like, butt in the conversation because they didn't understand, right? Which does come in handy sometimes, don't you think? Like, if you would just want to, like, talk about something only you two, and, like, you wouldn't make sure that no one else could understand you, just kind of, like, talk in Korean.
It's fun sometimes, but I guess, like, I don't feel entirely comfortable. Like, you know, we have some friends, and, you know, sometimes we'll just speak Korean, but I don't feel completely comfortable speaking it all the time, you know what I mean? It's very easy to talk with my mom and my cousins, but that's only because that's basically the only language they use all the time.
Yeah.
But since we always speak in English, like, I'm so used to hearing you
speak in English.
Speak in English, mm-hmm. that if you speak in Korean, it's, like, unusual.
Yeah. So that's why we speak in Konglish. Like, we've always spoken in Konglish with each other, though.
Like,
sometimes, like, my brain switches to Korean and I don't even notice it, so I'll start talking in Korean to you, but you're still responding back to me in English.
You know, sometimes, like, if I'm talking to, like, some of my friends or anybody, like, I'll just randomly just yell out a Korean word because, I don't know, I'll say 잠깐, right? And that means, like, wait a second, but I was supposed to say it in English, but it's, like, just came out in Korean, and I'm like, oh, my bad, like, I accidentally spoke Korean.
Yeah, it's, like, it's weird, like, being able to speak two different languages, and I'm sure, like, even if you're not Korean, you'll be able to understand this, just being able to speak two different languages and having all the words being jumbled in your head, and you don't even notice which one you're speaking sometimes.
Yeah, but it's not unusual. There's so many people who, I'm sure there's, like, more people who know two languages than just one.
Yeah.
Because Canada's pretty multicultural, so I expect that most people do know their other languages, but I think that having experience there in Korea, like, I never really appreciated it at the time when I was in Korea because I just really missed being here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever country you're in, you're always going to miss the other one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whenever I lived in Korea and I came to Canada for vacation sometimes, it felt so short. And it still feels the same now whenever I go to Korea. I only go every couple of years and to see my cousins and stuff. But, you know, I always miss the other country. But now I'm very, very appreciative of everything. Like, just being, like, I'm so glad that I was able to go to Korea and learn Korean because, I don't know, that's just such a big part of me now, you know? I just feel like I always identify as Korean in some way or another. And I'm so close to my cousins. Like, we don't talk all the time through FaceTime or something, but I don't know, I just feel really close to them now. And if I never actually live there, I don't even think we would be as close as we are now.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that, you know, I can have close relationships with people, and we're very far apart, but we've grown together, so there's no way we can just not know each other again. Like, we're always gonna be familiar and comfortable with each other,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. So I'm happy that I was able to get that experience there.
Yeah, like, even for me too, like, being able to, I guess, spend a year in Korea after living in Canada for so long, I'm like thinking about it and I miss like the food that they used to give out in Korean schools, because Korean schools, they have like not necessarily cafeterias, but they bring the food to you to your classrooms, right? Kind of like when you're in kindergarten. And so I miss that. The teachers and like the students form like a really close bond together. I don't know if you remember if that was a thing for elementary schools, but you know, here, like, they don't have like necessarily homerooms in like high school or like middle school anymore, I don't think. That like in Korea, like, you have one specific homerooms and the teachers come to you. Like, it's not, you don't go to different classrooms or different things like that.
Oh no, it depends. Because if you had music class, you'd go to
Oh, that's true, yeah. Or like gym class, you would obviously go to gym and whatever. But for like other classes, all the teachers would come, you know, to your classes. And because of that, like, you're able to form a really close bond with your classmates, because you're like stuck with that class for like your entire year.
Yeah, I made a lot of friends too, but I don't even remember that much because I was so young.
Yeah, me too.
But I do miss the food though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember sometimes it was kind of bad. Sometimes there'd be the odd side dish that was like bad.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it was really good compared to the cafeteria here.
Yeah.
Sorry, secondary schools here, but I mean, I just gotta say that Korean lunches are a little bit better.
It's far superior,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as... I don't order that much from here. You always order the noodles. I don't even know how you eat them.
Yeah, like in Canadian school, okay, the cafeteria food has... at least in our high school, I think the food has never been so great. No offense to, you know, the cafeteria ladies at our high school. But sometimes I just had no choice. Like, I didn't want to go outside in the freezing cold to get, like, Subway or something like that, or walk back home and make lunch. So, yeah.
Yeah, but those noodles were nasty.
They were pretty nasty.
I don't even know how you ate them.
I don't know. I kind of liked them. It wasn't as bad. It was, like, the best choice out of, like, all the food in our cafeteria.
No, the best choice was the cookies.
That's true. Because you can't, like,
that's the
go
only
wrong
thing I
with
ate.
Cookies, right?
Yeah, okay. It was just like greasy, but other than that, like, it tasted pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's everything for today, guys. Thank you all for listening to the first episode of Topoki. We really, really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Bye,
everybody.